إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, many people ask me this question about what according to me are the requisites to do the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to do the work of Da'wat al-Islam. In my view, there are five. First and foremost, most important, is to get recruited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this work. The same principle as we use when we are looking for employment. If I want to work for GE or IBM or Microsoft or whichever company, first thing is I need to get recruited by that company. I can't claim to be working for GE unless GE recruits me into their organization. Same thing applies here. The first and foremost thing is to get recruited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This recruitment happens on one basis alone, which is ikhlas, and that's the second point, which is sincerity of intention, purity of intention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unlike human beings, when we recruit people whose talents, whose education, whose experience we do not have, and we need that. In the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that logic does not apply to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does not need anything from anybody. Who was Samad? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you what you need in order to do His work, provided you get recruited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that recruitment is based on the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at our faces, He looks at our hearts. If the intention is pure, if the intention is sincere, ikhlas, al-ikhlas unniya, sincerity of intention, then inshaAllah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will recruit us for His work. And then the same thing as in an organization, then Allah will provide us with the resources that we need in order to carry out that work. So if we, whatever we need, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us that, because it is in the purview of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's authority to do so. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once we are recruited, which is on the basis of ikhlas wa niyya, which is on the basis of purity of intention, then Allah will equip us to do that work for which He recruited us. The boundary condition to that is that when we do the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen, when we are recruited, you apply the same logic as you apply for your employers. If I work for GE, then I work for GE alone. I dedicate my entire time to working for GE, and I do not take compensation for this work from anyone other than GE. If I am working for GE and I take a commission from somebody else, then I am kicked out immediately. The same logic applies here, which is that we get recruited for the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on our ikhlas, based on our sincerity of our intention. And then we work only and only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and we take no compensation for this from anyone else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this quality about His Anbiya alayhimus salam 8 or 9 times in the Quran, where He said they do not ask you for ajr, they do not ask you for compensation, they do not ask you for reward. Their reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Same logic applies to anyone who is doing the work of Dawah, which is the work of the Anbiya alayhimus salam. We take only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not from anybody else. The two things that we must guard very severely and sincerely against are the two greatest temptations of shaitan, which is name and fame and money. These are the two things which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they eat up good deeds like a fire burns up dry wood. This is what happens to people who go in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who say that they want to do the work of da'wah, and then they get stuck with this. They get shaitan misguides them and misleads them, and they get focused on name and fame, on popularity, on Facebook's likes and whatever else, and they forget the intention which they went for, which is the pleasure of Allah alone. Keyword alone. Not Allah and people, not Allah and this and that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. The basis of Tawheed is La ilaha illallah. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is the essence of Tawheed. And this is what we need to remember and say that make sure that we work only for Allah. So the proof of that is if you not only do not seek, but refuse name and fame and refuse money. What name and what popularity may come to you, despite the fact that you do not seek it, despite the fact that even the thought of that is not in your heart, despite the fact that you ensure that to the best of your ability, you do not go anywhere near that. Whatever popularity comes, whatever name and fame comes to you, despite that, inshallah al-musta'an, this is Bashara min Allah ta'ala, alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise your darajat. This is to show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. But if there is any adulteration of that intention in the heart, if there is any thought to say, well, you know, I just said something, I did something, did the people like it, and I should say something for people to like, and so on and so forth, please understand, then you have destroyed your intention, you have destroyed that amal, and there is not only no goodness in that amal, but actually that amal can become a source of fitna for you, and a source of punishment for you. So do not do that to yourself. Third point is discipline, which is the key to success for everything, including in this case. Discipline begins with tahajjud. Make tahajjud fard on yourself. Let not any day in your life pass unless you have prayed tahajjud. Make it a routine for yourself that you wake up 1 hour before the time for fajr starts, and you pray tahajjud, and you read, and you sit and read Quran, and then you go to the masjid for Salatul Fajr. Make this into a routine for yourself, into an absolutely unchangeable routine. No matter where you are, whether you are traveling or you are at home or whatever, this should be your routine. Wake up 1 hour before Fajr, pray tahajjud, read Quran, and then go to the masjid for Salatul Fajr. If this routine is established in your life, believe me, the barakah of this will illuminate your heart. The barakah of this will give you great success in dunya and akhirah. And then, of course, the rest of it, which is, following the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in everything else. Point number four is to read, reflect, and practice. And in this one, I also include as the principle of this, the first of this, is to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Follow the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in every single thing in your life. And for that you need to read, because you need to know what the sunnah is, you need to reflect on it, and you need to practice it and feel the beauty of it in your life. So make sure that you are reading. Discipline comes from this, and discipline is the discipline of reading. There are only two ways of getting knowledge getting knowledge in the world, which is, one is of course the knowledge of Wahi, which will not come to you and me, and the other one is through our own effort by reading. So make sure that you read. Inna ahsanal hadithi kitab Allah, to start with the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best book is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So read the Quran, learn to recite it well, take pleasure in it. Before you even read it or recite it, just sit with it in your hand and reflect that this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the closest that we are going to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life. So think about that. Let the awe and majesty of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enter into your heart before you even start reading. And then you read it, read the meaning, then think and reflect on the meaning, practice those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to do in our lives, and then go forward. So this is the way to approach the Quran. The same thing is to approach the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Reflect on the fact that these are the blessed words of the most blessed person ever to exist, Muhammadur Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And these are addressed to us. So treat the hadith with great respect and honor which it deserves, and implement the hadith. Please understand, sending around a hadith and ayat of the Quran on WhatsApp does not qualify. We're talking about actually implementing that thing in our lives. So follow the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in every single aspect of our lives. It is not enough to follow one sunnah which is convenient, or one sunnah which you like, and leave something else which is not convenient or which you do not like. That selective obedience is disobedience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala included Iman with amal, always. Because the amal is the proof of the iman. If I have the faith, then I will act upon that faith. If I am not acting upon the faith, then whether I have the faith itself needs to be questioned. So very, very important. We need to read, we need to reflect, we need to practice. And for this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Last one is to seek correction. Please understand, I'm not saying accept correction, I'm saying seek correction. Bigger step than accepting correction. Today we have a problem even with accepting correction. We think anyone corrects us, we get angry, we get irritated, we don't like this. This was not the way of the Salafus Salihin. People sought correction. Great ulama, great scholars, they went to somebody else for their own islah. A person who feels free from islah, a person who feels that he does not need correction, is sitting in the lap of shaitan. He is sitting in the lap of iblis. Every single person in the world, no matter how learned you think you are, you need correction. You need a muslih, you need islah. So go and find a muslih. Who is a muslih? A muslih is somebody who is himself also on the deen. It's not somebody who has a big title. It's not somebody who has great name and fame, who has got thousands of videos on YouTube or who's written 25 books. It's somebody who is on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You cannot see the heart, but you can see the action, and the action is a reflection of the heart. And a person whose heart is clear and pure, and a person whose heart is on deen, is a person who is on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you do not find the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the life of that person, then that person is not the correct muslih for you. By all means, you can have mentors, you can have people who correct you, you can have people who are your teachers, who are not even Muslim. There's no problem with that, with getting knowledge from wherever it is coming. There's no problem of taking knowledge from people who may not be on your maslak. Provided you know what you are taking, you need to be clear about that. Don't get misguided. But at the same time, there's absolutely no problem. It doesn't have to be somebody from who is on your madhab, on your maslak, and necessarily a Muslim and so on, not required. But what is required as far as the deen is concerned, I'm talking about general knowledge, general behavior and so on and so forth, you don't need that. But as far as Islam is concerned, as deen is concerned, then be very careful who you take your knowledge from. Take knowledge from people who are practicing that knowledge, whose practice you can see in their lives. Go study the person, spend time with them. Spend time does not mean sending WhatsApp messages. Spend time means take the time and trouble and expense to go and be in the company of that person. I know it's not easy today. Our lifestyles are different. How we live and so on are different. There is, in the old days of the Khanqahs and the ways we live, it was easy for someone to come and stay with a person for, days together and study their life and look at them and so on. Today that's not so easy, but who cares what's easy, what's not easy. We live today in a world which is not easy in many, many ways, and we take the trouble, we go to the extent of putting ourselves to a lot of trouble because we believe that what we are going to get at the end of that is worth it. So this is definitely worth it. So go and spend time, physically go and spend time, whatever it costs you, with somebody who is a muslih, who is a mentor, who is a person who can correct you and make your islah. So make sure. But as I said, get it from the right person. Check the aqeedah of the person. What does that person believe? Check the amal of the person. Check their following of the sunnah. Check their akhlaq, especially how they treat people who work for them, how they treat people who have no power, how they treat people who are weak. If you find the muslih is arrogant, run like hell. No way. If you find the muslih, the potential sheikh that you are looking for, if you find that this person takes pleasure from, or worse still, seeks titles and honorifics and so and so, Hazrat Maulana, Allama, Falan bin Falan, Damat Barkatuhum, Rahmatullah Ali, all of this, please. These are disqualifiers. Anyone who seeks these things is unworthy of being a sheikh for anyone. That person himself needs islah big time. You need people with humility. You need somebody who is humble. You need somebody who is focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See the level of their zuhud. Are they people who are not just praying the first salawat? Do they pray tahajjud? How much Quran do they read? What do they do? I know it's not easy to do all of this, but you need to check. If you are going to the wrong person, you are going to get wrong information. So definitely, please do that. And always, if there is anyone who is taking money for the sake of teaching Islam, that is an absolutely dead down disqualifier number one. Don't go to that person. Whoever that person might be, they are unfit for you to take your deen from them. Anyone who is taking money, anyone who is focused on name and fame for themselves, anyone who makes a completely asinine, stupid, ignorant comment to say, well, you know, if I don't take money, how do I eat? How do I feed my family? Believe me, that poor man is struggling. That poor man has not even come to terms with his own ubudiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not even understand the tea of tawakkul. He does not even understand the first basis of tawakkul. What is he going to teach you? For God's sake, run away. Find someone who understands tawakkul. Find somebody who works for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pays him, which means that he has an honest job that he works on, that he earns his living from, and the work of deen he's doing without taking compensation. This was the way of the Anbiya alayhi salam. The Anbiya alayhi salam worked and they also preached Islam. Now people say, I am working for deen full time. What is the meaning of that? Working for deen full time means you are giving lectures 24 hours a day? Of course not. Working for deen full time means working in a halal job. This is working for deen. It means taking care of your family. That is work for deen. It also means bayanat. It also means writing books and so on and so forth. But whoever on the world told you that having an honest, decent job which is halal is not working for deen? That is actually the best way of working for deen. It is the best dawah, because it is a dawah with practice. You are showing people that Islam is not some ideology which is only to be memorized, but it is something which is applicable in your daily life. A person working in a halal job for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, implementing the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how the Nabi used to work sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is actually doing ibadah in his work, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah will reward him. Allah mentioned this fact about the Anbiya alayhi salam. They had trades, they had things they did, and they also preached Islam, and that whole thing was 24 hours working for deen. Today you have people making this completely stupid comment to say, well, you know, I'm working for deen full time. If I don't take money, how do I eat? I mean, seriously, if you have to ask that question, then you are completely unfit to teach Islam to anybody. First, learn Islam yourself. First, learn Islam yourself. Understand what is the meaning of tawakkul. Go get yourself a decent job. Get yourself an honest employment, and then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you. And if you don't have the skills to get that employment, go learn the skill. Who told you not to learn the skill, right? You have to learn the skill. You turn Islam into a business. This was not the intention of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to have. So, very clear, do not take a Muslim, do not take your deen from someone for whom that deen is a business. Get out from there, there is no good can come out of that. Learn, sit and learn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will teach you. The one who has taqwa, Allah will teach him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran at the end of the ayah, which begins إِذَا تَضَيَنْتُمْ بِدَيْنٍ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. The end of that ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, اِتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. That have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will teach you. So be very clear, the most important thing for us to develop in our hearts as far as ikhlas is concerned is taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and khashyatullah. These two things are absolutely critical. Taqwa is to fear to disobey the one we love the most. So the hub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala results in taqwa, and taqwa results in khashya, and khashya results in tawakkul. This is the virtuous cycle that we need to develop. So these are the conditions, inshallah, for doing the work of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to fulfill these conditions and to make it easy for us and to take this work from us, to recruit us for his work, and then to equip us and to take us forward and to accept this from us, even though he does not need it, we need it and we need his acceptance. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahim.